Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a thankful Thursday. Thankful that all of you are with us. Thankful that we're about to go to a segment that I enjoy doing every single week around this time. So yeah, thankful Thursday. We bring in people we're thankful for. And in this case, I'll call the roll and make sure they're there. So coming in to us from Huntsville, Alabama, the dynamic diva of dilatory discourse, that would be Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I'm here.
You are, and we're glad. We're thankful. All right. And then also more localized to the studio itself, that would be Silky Smooth Buttery Man Butters. Hey, Butters, you good?
I am good. I am great. I'm here.
You are. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit me some whoop-whoops. All right. It is Butters and Lee time. First question. We've been talking about it, so I'm going to keep the thread going. So the Trump administration has been leading now and appears to have reached some measure of success with a peace deal for the Israel-Palestine situation. My question to you, your thoughts, give me your thoughts on this. Will it hold? And does Trump deserve a Nobel Peace Prize for this? Butters, you first. Will it hold? Does Trump deserve a Nobel Peace Prize?
Could we define how long hold means? You know, through the end of the week, sure. In perpetuity, you know, I don't know. I think it's a good thing. I guess I should preface all of that with it's a good thing. It's a good step. I hope that that motions are put forward, but you know, on to the next issue in the Middle East, I guess. So Peace Prize, you know, I mean, after they gave President Obama the Peace Prize, does it really mean anything?
Well, it didn't mean much then, that's for sure.
You know, I mean, I think those that it really matters to will we recognize the role that President Trump has played, and I hope that's gratitude enough for him. But yeah, they probably won't give them the Nobel Peace Prize.
That all right, would, but so are you, crazy. So are you? Am I gathering though that you're pragmatic on whether the peace will hold?
I mean, I hate to be a fence sitter, but you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I guess that's kind of where I'm at these days.
Lee, your thoughts before I can jump in there with my own. So, will it hold? Will the peace in the Middle East hold? And at the same time, do you think Trump deserves a Nobel Peace Prize? Take it away.
I don't know if it's going to hold. That's going to depend on Hamas almost entirely, because Israel's rarely the offensive, you know, person. They're going to be, you know, they're usually on defense. And it's going to depend on if Hamas thinks that they've somehow won all this, because they got, what, like over 1,000 anyway of their own people back who'd been arrested for different forms of terrorism. They get them back for 48 hostages, 28 of which are dead, I think. So, I mean, you know, that what they got is way over the top in what, you know, they're giving back. But I don't know, because if they do another big event like that, no, it won't stick. So it's just going to depend on what they decide to do. And if the people, if the Palestinians want to continue this war, then they can keep supporting Hamas. Maybe if they back away from that support, then it can hold. Do I think he deserves a Nobel Peace Prize? Sure. I mean, especially if Barack Obama's extraordinarily low bar is what you have to jump over to get one, then absolutely, he deserves two.
Well, he deserves two. I made a comment last night on CNN that if there's not a Nobel Peace Prize consideration at the very least, then I would have to question what the Nobel Peace Prize is even for. So here's another piece of this, though. There's some aspects of this that were not in place for previous attempts at peace in the Middle East, one of which is we now have an emasculated Iran. They have far less capability now to be meddlers and fomenters and to be backers of the trouble that Hamas was causing. Secondly, Israel showed pretty much, you know, unwavering resolve to go in and do whatever it had to do. Like, just get out of the way. We don't care if they're protesting around the world. We got to do what we got to do. So they, Israel showed an entirely different side. And then the last thing I would say is Israel was also following up on an extreme situation where they lost more pro rata than we did on 9/11. It was their 9/11, October 7th. And they right. could not be idle. So difference there in the way things are going. Yeah.
Well, let me throw a little more gloomy, more global perspective on this. Is Hamas sitting back laughing at America as we have Dearborn, Michigan, that's having called a prayer, where we've got people openly calling for terrorist acts in New York City. We're about to put Mamdani in charge of our largest city. You know, is it, you know, I don't know. Looking at it holistically, I hope it's not just a distraction that we all get complacent.
I would agree with that. I will say this. One of the things that's different also in this that can help with avoiding the complacency is this will be the first time we've had an international council in charge of maintaining the peace. It's not just going to be, all right, stay in your lane, you stay in your lane. Now it's going to be people there on the ground. Anyways, it's going to be a whole new world.
Let me go. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And there are places, though, that we've done that we're still doing it all these many years later. Like we still have American troops that do rotations in the Sinai Peninsula because of the Israel-Egypt war way back in the, what, late 60s? All right, next question before we run out of time. I saw it last night on CNN again. Democrats argue that ICE agents are really not under threat. They're not facing any increased violence. Where's your evidence? Your thoughts on that, and how would you respond if someone tried to confront you and say that ICE is not receiving 1,000% increase in threats? Lee, you first this time.
Well, I mean, they're just basically saying, don't believe your lying eyes. You can see the films, the threats. And these are films and posted by Antifa. But not only that, there was an agent run over in Chicago and was injured pretty bad and they ended up shooting the woman that ran him over. But I'm saying, like, this is not play. These people mean to, you know, Antifa are paid agitators and anarchists. And they love it when stuff goes sideways. So they would actually love to have more ICE agents hurt and killed. It would help them.
Butterman?
Oh.
Yeah, I think most of the talking heads on the left are pretty irrelevant. they're not worth listening to. It's not even, there's no debate. I personally, my last full deployment that I did was fighting ISIS. And ISIS putting out a big call to, hey, go find all the family members of the service members. That kind of stuff is happening in the U.S.
In the U.S.
by U.S.
Yep.
people. It's a waste of time to have that debate with Democrats. If that's what they are saying, they are not a serious person. They are, in my opinion, they're an enemy of good order and discipline and stability of law and order. And we need to quit wasting time having discussions with them.
Yeah, I would
and
agree.
And they can drop their Secret Service detail tomorrow and prove to me just how peaceful and wonderful everything is.
Yeah, and then don't forget, and I said it last night too, I confronted Congressman Dan Goldman with it. We just had a shooting, two shootings, one in Alvarado, Texas, and another in Dallas, Texas. People died. That's real. That's legit. That has happened in recent weeks. And the idea that, by the way, we have apps that have been created to help track ICE so you can know where they are. Why would you do that? You're not alerting somebody. What you're doing is you're putting ICE agents at risk by doing that. And then the third thing I just saw today, one of their latest tactics, the left is to watch ICE pull out the gate, and then follow the convoy and then honk the horns and yell real loud to warn locals that ICE is coming. I mean, who does this stuff? But they hate Trump more than they love America is where we are right now. All right, we got to take a break. That's round one of Butters and Lee. We come back and we we flip the script, and we just wait, and they ask me questions, and I hope I have an answer. I think I'll have an answer. I usually have an answer. I hope I have an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades, y'all. All right, bring them back in. Butters and Lee, round two of Butters and Lee is where we, I sit back and they ask me questions. I don't know what's coming. I wait and see. And then I go speaking extemporaneously on whatever topic they've hit me with. So ladies first, Lee, what do you got for me?
So this woman running for governor in California, Katie Porter. yeah, have you ever seen anyone implode so spectacularly?
No.
A and B. What do you think about the fact that she yelled the F word at an assistant, and which is all caught on video, and she called pedophilia a sexual orientation and not a crime necessarily. And I'm like, this woman's disgusting. Like, I just don't think I've ever seen anything like it. But yet, she may still win.
Is she the lead candidate, by the way, for governor right now?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, my. Lead candidate for Democrat for governor. That so. Yes. So, first of all, I don't know Katie Porter. But the visual evidences of what kind of person she is tell me I don't want to know Katie Porter. Even Gavin Newsom strikes me as schmarmy, but at least he has this like self-awareness enough to like fake that he's not try to pretend he's not schmarmy. You know what I'm saying? He tries to be the man, yeah, even though he's not. She doesn't even try. She's just like an awful person. She just like screams at people. She has complete lack of self-awareness. She's like a total diva. That is not retail politics, my friend. That kind of person, you know, like if you look at, I've said before that one of the best retail politicians, which means somebody who can go out there and shake hands and smile and talk to people and make you feel like you're the only one they're talking to at the time. Katie Britt is probably, in my opinion, her personality is one of the masters of being able to do that. She is really good at being a personable person, despite the fact that she is a notable public figure. This woman has no clue like that. How'd she get this far in politics? I don't know. Someone needs to be her life coach and political consultant and say, Katie, at least try to pretend you're not a complete ass. That would be helpful. Just saying.
Yeah. I think if you looked in the dictionary under Karen, it would be her picture. Like, that's her.
All the Karens in the world are getting a bad rap right now, but go ahead. What you got?
Poor Karen.
What you got, Butters?
You're kind of trying to rationalize and think through something that's irrational. I mean, and it's crazy, but there are people that actually are going down this slippery slope of minor attracted persons and
oh,
thinking
what she
that's
said about
thing.
That? Yes, like that's awful.
We're just keep on right. going down, and it's not like there's just five people that are going to buy into that, and they're gonna just go until we finally absolutely say enough.
That makes like burning at the stake look like the right kind of punishment again.
Wood chipper.
Okay. I may stop at the wood chipper, but yeah, that's that kind of person does not deserve to be in public office. She doesn't, but she thinks she does, and it's very obviously she thinks she does. She has this air of entitlement to her when she speaks. Like, how dare you speak to me this way? I don't want to be here because you're not enjoyable anymore. I'm sorry, you're a public figure. Answer the freaking question. And by the way, the question was so easy. It was a layup. What would you say to the Trump supporters? I would say, listen to my policies. I hope that you'll like some of them. I believe that I can work with you. That's all she had to do. She couldn't even do that. Anyway. All right, before I run out of time, Butterman, what's your question for moi?
So, why on earth is anyone still watching the NFL? This whole Bad Bunny, you know, we're going to boycott the halftime show. It's good. Okay, great. You know, it'll be great to see, you know, TPSA or whoever put something together. Why on earth do we continue as conservatives? Why do we continue to give any attention to this useless organization? That's just completely abhorrent by now.
I'll tell you why. Because this useless organization, and it is, I am not at all a fan of Goodell. I'm not at all a fan of the NFL as an organization. But this useless organization is still the one in charge of the game that we love. And there is still this sense of the heyday of the NFL, of the days of, you know, of the glory on the field and the gridiron and playing for the love of the game more than the money. And there's this real, and the entertainment value and the pride of community. Like, you know, you look at the stories of, like, you know, Philly fans are awful, but they love their Eagles. And you know, the common man would spend all their beer money to go to a game because they love their Eagles. The idea that you got this sense of community to rally, almost like a college atmosphere in some places. And a lot of that's being lost on the theater of NFL. But I think we still support it because there's a real hope that we can get back to it one day. And because those of us who remember are old enough to remember those days and know what it's like to have those heroes who were also role models, you just hope for it's going to come back one day. So that's why I think we're still hanging on. The NFL's got to reform its corporate image. They're awful.
Yeah, I mean, I will say conservatives found another beer to drink. And
yeah,
it fixed the corporation. Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, NFL is a business. I just feel like you really gotta take the attention away. This is going to be real interesting to see how this plays out with this halftime show.
And this halftime show with this guy Bad Bunny. I realize I'm not the young hipster. Maybe there's a young hipster atmosphere out there that really wants Bad Bunny, but I don't think so. And I don't think the young hipster crowd can afford the tickets to the Super Bowl. But I think that if this turns into it won't be the game. But if the halftime show, if the ancillary moments like kneeling for the anthem and those kind of things, if those ancillary moments of conservatives pushing back can actually take hold, I think you'll begin to see changes. I look forward to it. So there, that's it. All right, Butters and Lee, appreciate you both. Thank you much. Yeah, Bad Bunny. Who cares about that guy? I mean,
Bad Bunny does.
Well, that's true.
That's about it, I think.
I guess he sold some records.
And Anna Navarro took a selfie with him the other day.
Navarro.
Yeah.
Did he borrow one of her dresses?
Probably.
All right, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.